This is Pastor Randall Floyd from Clayton Assembly of God in Clayton, New Mexico. It is my privilege and my pleasure each week at this time to bring you the message that was delivered the previous Sunday from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. I hope you will take the time to join in and listen to what God has been saying to the congregation here, because I believe the message really has a much wider and broader appeal than just this church family. Grab your Bible if you can. Sit back and enjoy God's Word today. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Clayton Assembly of God, you can go to our website at www.claytonag.org. While you're there on the website, if you feel led to do so and you'd like to help support the ministry of Clayton Assembly of God, you can click on the donate button, or you can click on the contact page and find the address to simply mail your donation to us. Sit back and enjoy God's Word from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. Open your Bibles this morning. 1 Peter. And yes, Mark, we have finally gotten into chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Rocking Your Foundation is the title of today's message. On the next slide, it's going to show that our text is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But I want to back up to verse 1. We're going to be focusing on verses 4 and 5 a little bit today. And I will tell you, we're going to camp here. Ladies, I did forget to announce our state women's conference is coming up in September. If you would like to go, you need to come talk to me right after service, because there's some important information there. It's going to be held down in Las Cruces in September. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore..." And remember, when the Bible says therefore or wherefore or so, it means because of everything that's gone before that, there's something for you to do. "Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." I'm not going to go back and re-preach those messages, but I'll tell you on that one, we talked about taking off the old garment, the filthy garment of our past. You know, you cannot take what God has for you when you come to Him and become a believer and a follower of Christ. You can't take on the new garment He wants to give you and put it on over the old stinky garment and think it's going to make a difference. Amen? Amen. Verse 2, he says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good." We feed our minds and our souls and our spirits on something continuously. As a matter of fact, if you try to sit back and say, "Well, I'm not going to feed my mind on anything. I'm not going to watch anything. I'm not going to read anything." I'll tell you, the devil will come along and cram junk food into your mind, okay? Crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. And that brings us to where we're at today. Peter shifts gears. He shifts analogies. Now he's going to begin to talk not about feeding ourselves or the garment we wear, but he's going to talk about our salvation as it relates to Jesus Christ and a rock or a foundation. Verse 4, "And as you come to Him," speaking of Jesus, "the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what you were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I will tell you right now, in those verses 4 through 10, we're going to camp for a few weeks. It's either that or I put together one big sermon and we sit in here for 4 hours or more. How many of you would rather we camp there and stretch it out over a few weeks? See, you know that's the answer when even the pastor's wife raises her hand and is the first one. I want to talk to you today about rocking your foundation. The foundation, here's the definition of a foundation. It's kind of funny because I looked this up and I Googled just the word foundation, and the first thing it actually brought up was makeup. Foundation. So I had to go back and I said, no, I want you to define the foundation of a building. And this was the simplest one I could come up with. It is an underlying base or support. And I think those are all key words to this. It's underlying. Can I just tell you right now, oftentimes a foundation is not seen. A foundation is oftentimes not thought about until it's too late. I will tell you the truth. This building was not, much of it was not constructed by professionals. There's a much of this building we stand in and sit in this morning. It was built by amateurs. They had a certain amount of knowledge, but they were not professional builders. And there's parts of it that really show that. I can prove it to you on the back part of this, because there are some cracks in the bricks and between the bricks where it's not just mortar has fallen out. The building settled and shifted, and there's cracks in it. Now, thank God they went in and did some cleanup work, and they've secured the building. It's not going to fall on you. Aren't you glad? But the reason why is because the underlying work did not receive the attention that it should have. How many of you are from California? You lived in California for an extended period of time. What part?
Escondido.
Is that earthquake country?
North County, San Diego.
North San Diego. So not as bad with earthquakes as, say, San Francisco and L.A. How many of you have ever been to the downtown Albuquerque? How many of you know where the federal building is in downtown Albuquerque? It is on 5th Street. It is a block south of Central Avenue. I know that because I worked within a block and a half of that for over 11 years. How many of you know the secret of the foundation on that building and several of the buildings in California? How many of you know the secret to the foundation? No, it's not sitting on a fault line per se. It's built on a swamp. It has got a special kind of that is solid, but it is made to float on some not such solid ground underneath. And there are some of these in California. They have that kind of foundation, and on the roof, they've got giant blocks that weigh several tons that are on slides, so that if an earthquake or a tremor begins, the foundation will move and transfer that movement to those blocks on the top of the building, so the building will not crack apart and crumble. Now, for some of you, that kind of is like, wow, how do you know that? Well, some of you tend to forget, or maybe you know, your pastor worked with engineers for several years, and some of you have read about that. The reality of it is that one of the great architects of our time, he's now passed on, his name is Frank Lloyd Wright. He was asked to develop this building in earthquake country overseas in Japan, and they said, you cannot build a building that tall on this ground, it won't work. He said, yes, it will, if we spend the right amount of time in planning and constructing the foundation the right way. And the truth is, shortly after that building was completed many decades ago, they had an earthquake, and that very tall building survived when smaller buildings near it crumbled because the underlying base and support was done properly. I want to tell you this morning, the main focus of what I want to get across to you today is that you need to stop working on the outward appearance of what everyone sees and spend more time working on the foundation of what your life is built on. And I don't care if you're a new baby Christian or if you have been walking with the Lord for 50 or 60 years, you can never afford to not take care of the foundation upon which you are building every day. Peter says, when you come to him, the living stone, we don't think of stones as living. I don't think the sandstone that Brother Carl put up on Facebook that he found that he's going to use around the house out there, those aren't living stones. It's kind of dead stone, right? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be nice, Carl, if it was living stone so you could just say, hey, walk over there and put yourself in place? We have a living stone which desires, now listen to me, Jesus Christ, the living stone, desires to be the underlying base and support for your life. But he will never force himself upon you. And yet Peter says here in these verses, he says, when you come to this living stone, who was rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to the Father, he says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Can I tell some of you, you want to try to do this Jesus thing, you want to do this Christian walk, and you kind of want to do it on your own. You want to be that Lone Ranger Christian. You know, I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. Can I tell you, if you read through the Word of God, we were never meant to do this alone. We need each other, because the reality of it is, God is not wanting you to be a solo rock out there trying to do your thing. He wants you to fit in to what he is building. And when he talks about building his church, he's not talking about a structure like this. He's talking about people. And each one of you have a specific place in the building of this church that you need to fit into for right now. And no one else can fit into your place. And if you do not allow yourself to be built on the living stone as a small living stone in this church that's being built, if you will not allow yourself to be placed in the right spot, there's a hole in the wall. And every time there's a hole in the wall, it spells disaster. The foundation upon which we build is so important that Jesus had this to say about. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Your foundation is so important. Your foundation cannot be your education, as important as that is. Your foundation cannot be your job or your career, as important as that is. Your foundation cannot be your spouse or your children or your parents or your family, as important as that is. Your foundation cannot be your pastor or your Sunday school teacher, as important as they may be in your life. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, they said, some say John the Baptist. Well, that's a reasonable answer from these people. They think that John the Baptist has come back to life because John the Baptist is the most recent prophet that the nation of Israel has had. Others say Elijah. Well, that's not a bad guess. Maybe Elijah has come back because Elijah was probably the greatest of the prophets who never wrote a book. But it still misses it. And still others say Jeremiah. Well, that's a pretty good answer because Jeremiah was one of the greatest of the writing prophets. They say, or some just say you're one of the other prophets. But then Jesus gets down to brass tacks. He gets down where the rubber meets the road. He says, what about you? Can I tell you this morning, I didn't look it up in the Greek to see if that word you is singular or plural, but can I tell you it can be one? Because I believe this morning that Jesus Christ is asking Clayton Church for the rest of us, he's asking us as a group, as a family, who do you say that Jesus really is? But he's also asking you as an individual this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Can I tell you that if you're building on the wrong foundation, you may speak the right answer, but you're not going to live the right answer. I want you to catch that a moment. Peter says, you are all living stones. It's not always what we say that's important, it's what we do. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And good old Simon Peter, he answered, you are the Christ. That's the Greek word for Savior or Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. You're one of those little living rocks. You're little rock Peter. I want you to look at your neighbor this morning and say, you know what? If you proclaim the same thing Peter did, you're a little rock like he was. I know, that was a mouthful. Just look at him and say, you're a little rock, and I mean it in a good way, okay? This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, a little rock that's going to be used in the building of the kingdom of God. But get this. And on this rock, big rock, in the Greek, two different words, little rock, big rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Peter, you got the right answer. And I know from any of these guys you're hanging out with, because they didn't get it right yet either. But my Father revealed it to you so that on the rock of your profession of faith in who I am, I will build my church. Friends, we need to understand, the church is not about buildings, it's about people. And what God is wanting to build is a gathering of people who will be built upon one solid foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, and the Son of the living God. And if you're building your life on anything else, I don't care how good it seems, I don't care how good it sounds, I don't care how much people pat you on the back for it, if your life is being built on anything less than Jesus Christ, it will crumble. Guys, I love and I highly respect Teen Challenge. In fact, I know based on the age of some of you guys, I knew about Teen Challenge before some of you were born. Because I'm old. Sort of. But can I tell you that as you go through Teen Challenge, if you try to build your life on the foundation of Teen Challenge, it will fail you. And I think everybody who is in leadership in Teen Challenge will agree with me. Teen Challenge's purpose is to help you build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Nothing less. Jesus says to Peter, you're one of the little rocks I'm going to use to build, but we're going to build it upon the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, the living stone of Jesus Christ. Any time down through history that man has tried to help build the kingdom of God on anything less than the foundation of Jesus Christ, it has failed. It has failed. If you don't believe me, study through the history of the church through the centuries. And every time they tried to build it on the personality of a man, every time they tried to build it at the end of a spear or the end of a sword, every time they tried to build it through scams or shenanigans or there's a word I'm trying to think of. I hate it when the train of thought derails like that. not pride, but anytime they tried to build it on even on the slickest modeling methods, on the slickest advertising methods, any gimmicks, that's the word I'm looking for. When they tried to build the church on gimmicks, it doesn't work. It must be built on the foundation of Christ. Amen. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by the word gimmicks? I will tell you a time in my home church when I was in my early teens. We were struggling to build the church. We wanted to bring in more people. So it was decided by leadership. Leadership that I love and respect. And they admitted later they'd made a mistake when they did this. With the gimmick, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run a contest in Sunday school. How many of you have ever been a part of one of those? We're going to have a contest in Sunday school. And here's what we're going to do. You bring, for 4 weeks or 6 weeks, we're going to run this contest. And every time you bring a visitor, we're going to give you a points. And every time that visitor comes back, we'll give you more points. And whoever gets the most points at the end of the contest gets a new bicycle. You know, the problem is that most of the guests that came, they didn't come after the contest was over, because what happened was the people in the Sunday school, usually mostly the kids, they went out and got their friends to not go to their church for a few Sundays so they could get the points to win the bike. And the leadership later admitted they had made a mistake. They tried to do. They tried to build the local church on gimmicks. Some of us try to build our life on gimmicks. Oh, if I just get this little box with it has the little cards in it with the scripture saying, and I will just read one every morning, my life will be better. There's nothing wrong with reading the scripture. In fact, you need to be in the Word. You're not going to know how to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ if you're not in the Word. But stop trying gimmicks. If I just sit in this one room every day and I pray like they did in the movie The War Room, my life will be better. No, you got to understand, it's not about the room. It's not about the formula. It's about building on the foundation of Jesus Christ according to His Word. Amen. See, we're all guilty of it. If I just walk around, if I just pray this prayer this many days in a row, this is going to change. No, or you need to be built on the living stone, the foundation of Jesus Christ, not the gimmicks, not the whatever you want to call them. Let me show you what it means and why it is so important to build on the right foundation the right way. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus felt that it was so important that we understand what it means to build on the right foundation that He told this wonderful story. It's a great parable. Luke 6, beginning in verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Can we just stop right there a minute? Can I tell you that God is not impressed with the fact that you know when to stand, when to sit, when to raise your hands, and know the words of every song that we sing? Did you catch that? Yeah. Let me run that by you one more time, because I don't think you did. Because see, the problem is, some of you knew just exactly what response I might be looking for, and you thought I was fishing for the right response, and we can fall into that trap. Well, the pastor says something and pauses a moment. We should shout, "Amen." Well, that's good, but it's not always the best response. Sometimes the best response is, "Oh, me." God is not impressed, and it is not evidence of you building on the right foundation just because you come to church and know when to stand, when to sit, when to raise your hands, when to say amen, and you know the words to all the songs with your eyes closed. It's not enough to walk around saying that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Jesus Himself here, before He gives the parable, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but yet you don't do what I tell you to?" living stones in what Christ is building will do what the living stone tells them to do. They won't look at the living stone and say, I don't want to be here. I want to be over there. Can I tell you, if you're where God has placed you right now, quit trying to look for somewhere else to be. When it's time to move, God will tell you. My wife and I recently have had conversations with some people around town. Some of them are surprised when they find out how long we've been here. Over 13 years. And again, the question has come up. Someone said, well, your son, your youngest is a senior in high school this year, right? We said, yes. They said, wow, what are you going to do when he graduates? Move? We said, we don't know. God hasn't told us. Amen. It's not up for me to tell God when I'm ready to move. It's for me to listen so I'm ready to move when God tells me to. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Jesus tells this parable, and with my background working with architects and engineers and being around construction, I like this story. He says there was these two men, and I'm gonna expand the story a little bit and put on your imagination caps with me. Two men, they were probably friends. They both decided they'd been doing well in their businesses and they'd saved up money. And they both decided one day, you know what? It's time for us to each build our own house. Let's buy property down here on the beach together. And let's build our houses together. Our wives love each other. And our kids like to play together. So let's build our houses down there on adjoining lots by the beach. And man, let's live the dream. So they both go to the architect and the engineers and they both tell them what they want and their tastes were enough alike. Their houses were very similar. One of them says to the architect and engineer, he says, now look, I'm building down there on the beach and I know how the tides can come in and I know how the storms can roll in. So he says, look, I want this thing to last. If I'm going to put this kind of money into it, I want it to last. How far down do I have to go? So they did a test dig and the engineer comes back and the architect, and they said, well, you know what? If we dig down about 13 and a half feet, we can hit bedrock. How many of you know what bedrock is? Bedrock is down where it's solid. You want to get below the bedrock or through the bedrock, you don't just take a shovel. You got to take a jackhammer or a dynamite. Okay? Bedrock is solid stuff. Now, the architect and engineer, they look at the man and they say, now understand, if you want us to dig all the way down to bedrock to give you a solid foundation, it's going to cost you an extra $25,000. And the man says, you know what? For the safety of my family and for the longevity I want out of this house, it's well worth it. It's a price well paid. So they begin build his house, and they did start to dig down. Now his neighbor, his friend, comes over and says, man, what are you doing? Look, I had him dig down here a couple of feet, and we packed it down pretty good, and it's pretty solid. See, I can stomp on it, and I can't leave much of a footprint. It's pretty good. I'm saving all that money, and you're going to wish you had too, because with my $25,000 savings, I'm going to have the biggest flat screen TV in the neighborhood, and I'm going to add on a three-car garage with a wood shop in part of it. I'm going to have a gazebo in the backyard. Boy, my house is going to look a lot nicer than yours, my friend, because I'm not wasting my money having them dig down 13 and a half feet to bedrock. You see, some of you, you're taking spiritual currency and you're investing it in the wrong things. Rather than working on the foundation of which your life is built on, you're putting it towards all the stuff so you look good. Ooh. See, I can remember a time when I started in ministry, and this is still going on out there. those of us that were pastors, we couldn't wait to get to the Bible bookstore and buy the most expensive Bible with the real leather cover and have our name put on the front of it. And that's still going on out there. I got an ad recently from something that was like, Pastor's Bibles, now on sale for only $89.99 with your name imprinted on the front. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I got a Bible up there I use. It's got my name on it. I think it's a leather cover. I didn't pay nearly that much for it. But, you know, the problem is a $5 paperback Bible from the dollar store is going to serve you just as much good as long as you put it to use. So Jesus tells us, they both built their house. The one put in the extra money, he put in the extra time. It took longer to build his house because they dug down deep and they found that bedrock and they put concrete pillars and they brought it up to a certain level. Then they built a frame and they put a concrete floor. Now his buddy had all the toys. His buddy had all the flash. All the bling. But all of a sudden, after they got both got moved into their houses, a few months later, all of a sudden, the waves started being a little choppy. They noticed the waves started rolling up on the shore and it started getting a little closer to the house, and they noticed the storm clouds beginning to gather. Friends, let me tell you something, that's life. It's not always going to be smooth sailing, and it's not always going to be blue skies. Some of you can attest to this. There's going to be times when the waves are going to roll in higher and choppier than ever. The skies are going to begin to have the gray clouds show up, and all of a sudden you're going to look out there, and now what you thought was that beautiful scenery of your life is not going to look so good. That's a good place for an amen, okay? The guy over here with all the bling and the big screen TV and the gazebo and all the stuff he put extra with that money he didn't sink into the foundation, he sees that water beginning to get closer and closer, and he begins to get a little bit worried. He calls his buddy up in the other house. He says, man, have you seen the storm? He goes, yeah, I'm looking at it. He goes, aren't you worried? He goes, no, I'm not worried. Well, why aren't you worried? Our houses are built. He says, man, remember, I built on the rock. The storm blew in, and the lightning and the thunder and the high winds and the waves began to crash up higher and higher, till suddenly those waves began to swamp over the houses. And the one that was built upon the solid rock, it survived. Now let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't tell this in his story. I'm going to guess there was some superficial damage. But the overall structure stood because it was on the rock. Jesus says the other house, the waves hit it, and suddenly that house collapsed, and its destruction was utter and complete. Friend, let me listen to your pastor this morning. If you're not building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, I don't care how flashy you get with your walk. I don't care how good you try to look on the outside. I don't care how much you fool your pastor. I don't care how much you fool other people. If you're not built on the solid rock, there will come a storm into your life and your destruction will be utter and complete. But you can avoid it by beginning today to build upon the solid rock. And you know, as I studied through these passages of Scripture and I went through commentary after commentary and I looked things over, and I was really, to be honest with you, I've had trouble wrapping my entire mind around all of this. But for today's message, and we're going to dig into those verses more about Jesus Christ being the stone and the cornerstone, the capstone, all of that. But for today, I came to this final conclusion. Building on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ is nothing more and nothing less than being in an obedient relationship with Jesus Christ and His Word. Building on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ is nothing more and nothing less than being in an obedient relationship with Jesus and His Word. When He says, do it, Brother Carl, what did you determine from your devotion the other day? When Jesus says, do it, you do it. When He says, don't do it, Don't do it. If His Word says do it, it's still valid for today. If His Word says don't, it's still valid for today. See, I've been thinking about this over the last several months, and it may be stretched even further than that. This one subject keeps coming up time after time after time, and I know God's trying to get it through my thick head, and I can only assume that some of you are as thick-headed as I am. What He's looking for is not flash. He's not looking for relevance. He's looking for one thing, and that's obedience. Obedience. Lord, Pastor, I know the Lord's telling me to do something, but I just don't really want to. I've got reasons why I don't want to. Then you're not building on the solid rock, you're building on sand, and you're going to collapse. Some of you sit there and probably say, well, Pastor, you probably don't understand. No, I've been there. I know what it was like to be disobedient. I spent probably a good year and a half, 2 years arguing with God, and I was one of the most miserable people you could ever live with. No, don't ask my wife about it. She wasn't in my life at that time. I would tell you, ask my parents, but I don't want you to bother them, okay? When I finally came to that point where I said, okay, God, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm going to do it your way. And I told my parents about it. My mother's response was, well, thank God, because you've been a bear to live with. So, yes, I know what it's like to be building on the sand and things collapse around you. Nothing goes right. Even when you're doing good things, they don't go right. So how do we build on the living stone, the solid foundation that Jesus Christ wants to be in our lives? We become obedient. We become obedient. As I close this morning, I'm going to ask you to be real honest. Don't you hate it when the preacher says, be totally honest? I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed, so I'm going to ask you to do something that's kind of old-fashioned. I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed. I want your eyes off your phones, off your notebooks, off your Bibles. I don't want you to look. Everybody, please, bow your head, close your eyes. There's only going to be three that are going to know if you raise your hand or not. That's you, Pastor, and God. It's a very simple question. I just want to ask how many would raise a hand this morning and say, Pastor, I need to begin to be more obedient than I've ever been so I can build on that solid rock. Just a hand up and right back down. Now I want you to stand with me. I want to pray for you and with you. And when I'm done, then if you want to spend time in the altars alone with God, asking for forgiveness for your disobedience, or asking Him to show you more of what He wants you to do, feel free to spend time. But I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you this morning. If you raised your hand, it's probably an indication that you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for those times you've been disobedient. But don't stop there. Then ask Him for the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life so you can become more obedient. See, that's the really neat thing. I want you to catch this. This is the cool thing. He doesn't say be obedient, then leave you on your own. He says, here's the Holy Spirit's power to help you be obedient. So we are without excuse. Did you catch that? We are without excuse because He doesn't say be obedient and then shove you out the door. He says be obedient and here's the Holy Spirit to walk alongside you to give you the ability. Amen?
Amen.
If you feel like doing so, take somebody by the hand just as a sign of faith, a show of faith, and to let them know that, hey, I'm in your... I'm with you right here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are the living stone upon which we can build our lives and that You are solid. You're not going to ever crumble. You'll never fall apart, Lord. And Lord God, we ask You to forgive us for those times we have been disobedient, and in so doing, we have moved ourselves a little bit off of that solid rock foundation. God, help us to become obedient children so that our lives are built on You and nothing less. For Lord God, there is nothing greater than You on which we can build our lives. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do what you have called us to do. Help us to be content where you have placed us at this point in our lives to accomplish what you have put us there to accomplish, Lord. And may others see that obedience and desire what we want. And Lord God, as Brother Carl shared this morning, when you give us a word to share, may we be quick and obedient to share it with any and everybody that you place in our path. And Lord God, we ask that this morning in your wonderful name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. If you'd like to spend time in prayer.